I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now. Hey, I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now.
Develop these bars for the developing stars, whoa. Ranked by the stars though, but they know just who they are. The knowledge is deep, man, cause college is bleak, man. Knees of the bees, man, GQ people's McGriff now. I trust him with everything, every cover, it's giving me confidence. Hipping is hopping and really no stopping. I'm Mickey with champion, y'all put a sock in it. But this is life, bro, they're at it all night though. So you can just drive slow and get down with the Devi crew.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Devi Happy Hour, episode 36. We are your source of knowledge for college football players in the fantasy football landscape. You can find this podcast at Devi Happy Hour on Twitter, or if you choose to, you can email us at devihappyhour@gmail.com. We would love to answer any questions that you have with your drafts coming up, any strategy questions, send us pictures of your rosters, pictures of your calves, you know, no, stuff like that. You know, let us know. That's just an inside joke we have at the happy hour, the calf thing. All right, first up, we're going to introduce today. It's just me and Matt. So, Matt, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. It's been a sad week off, but we're back in it. A lot of action with the Senior Bowl, Shrine Game, a lot of talk on some of these rookies, and obviously all this ADP stuff flying around through DLF that Ray's been heading up. So a lot of good information, man, heading into this quote-unquote non-point scoring season.
Right, yeah, the Senior Bowl is kind of like the kickoff to the draft season, it feels like. You know, everybody's kind of got their high from the championship game over, you know, a bunch of people. LSU lost like half their team, basically. So, and Alabama kept a bunch, and so did Clemson. So it looks like we're on a train wreck path, whatever you want to call it, next year for Alabama Clemson is kind of what it looks like if you look at the landscape right now. So real quick, we are going to talk about the Senior Bowl. I don't know, we just had a lot of interesting news coming out this week. The quarterbacks, the wide receivers, I don't know how many videos I've seen of wide receivers toasting defensive backs. Antonio Gandy Golden's a name that's really popping a lot that I've seen on Twitter at this point, and a guy that really needed to come down to the Senior Bowl and show how he could do against top cornerbacks. And he's got I've seen quite a few videos from our boy Andrew Harbaugh and stuff like that of Gandy Golden just burning people. And I love seeing that. And another guy, do you have anything on Antonio Gandy Golden, Matt? Or?
No, just on the football side of things with this, though, I always kind of – I take some of these one-on-ones in these bowl games or Senior Bowl game setups like this with a little bit of grain of salt. The advantage goes to the receiver, and that's not just the linebacker talking to me, but it's in the passing camps, it's in all these things, 7-on-7s, all those deals. The advantage goes there. So early in the week like this, I would hope that the receivers would be getting the best out of the defensive backs, period. You know what I mean? There's no safety help, there's no underneath, there's no whatever, right? And these guys they're out there just going one-on-one. So I get why these receivers shouldn't be doing so good early on, and if they weren't, I would be way more concerned, but no, Gandy Golden I like a lot, but you know I like Michael Pittman, and Michael Pittman's been flashing, has been a name that's been really out there doing it as well, and I'm very excited for that. I learned today that he was kind of being mentored by Curtis Conway, another USC receiver and now analyst and everything else that he's doing, so that's cool to hear, man. So he's got the famous dad, he's got Seaway as his mentor, and man, I wish the best for that guy. So, no, this is a fun week, man. I was just watching an interview with Jalen Hurts before I came in here, and I love that guy. Who doesn't? But it's a good time.
Right. Two names that are popping and kind of surprising. The first one, not as surprising, Van Jefferson from Florida, I guess, is looking really good, which is kind of a name that is pretty not off my radar, but definitely really low on my radar. So he's doing really well. And then a name that has got the buzz, and we've talked about him a couple times on this show, Colin Johnson from Texas. Suppose he's looking really, really good this week so far, which shocks the heck out of me because I've been asked about him before, and I'm like, yeah, he's just a lumbering blah blah wide receiver. I don't really care too much about him, but I guess he's been looking pretty good. So that's a couple names. I haven't heard much about running backs yet. Quarterbacks, you know, Jordan Love's had a couple really good throws. Shea Patterson's looked, you know, I guess at times good and at times bad, which is pretty much his whole entire career, it feels like. So I don't know if you got anything else on the Senior Bowl, Matt, or
just the one thing I guess was kind of note. Eno, I guess, measured at 5'9", 195, which is not you know, being short's okay. It's not a big deal. I would have liked to see him come in more like 205, 210. You know, 205 is even light, it feels like. But, God, that's 5'9", 195 is a little small for what I was hoping for from him. I was hoping to see a little more weight on there.
Right. I think that's going to pigeonhole him in that third down utility back. You know, it's not going to give him much of a chance to get out of that role. And that's probably where his best role is, honestly. From what we've seen, the progression. I'd hoped a little more, because obviously we do love that guy. All right, a little bit of news that I did want to cover. Derek King transferred. He is going to land at Miami. What is your take, Matt? Do you think that's good for him, bad for him?
I like him. You know, I think you were singing his praises the most this past offseason just because of what he did the year before at Houston. And I was really excited to see what he did down there this year. You know, obviously that kind of took a turn, and it turned into – where is Derek King going to end up? And where is the next, you know, is he going to go to Oklahoma and all this stuff? I like the Miami land more for Miami than maybe for King, but that's got to help them, you know, in different avenues there. You know, it's funny because there's still people talking about Tate Martell, you know, and it's, I joked around saying, you know, Tate Martell is going to transfer where now or do what now? And who, going from the penthouse to the outhouse real fast for that guy, but I think the move is better for Miami than it maybe it is for Derek King. But that doesn't diminish him at all. It's good that he's going to get down the ACC, better conference, better play, better highlight. Miami is one of those schools, man. That helmet is infamous, you know. And I hope he does well. I mean, there's some talent down there. They obviously haven't been as highlighted as some of these other Florida schools or wherever, you know, just in general, but. They bring people in, man. They got too many local kids over there to not have a decent football team year, you know, from one year to another. So I could see him helping with the recruiting class too.
Right. It's a big splash, you know, and they had that with Martell and it didn't work out. And like you said, it's good for the university. It's definitely good for, you know, it gets him on a bigger stage, a brighter stage, you know, where he'll get on TV and people will actually see him play. I hope they can tailor an offense to him. That's to be seen. They have not had an offense anything like, you know, with a quarterback that what Derek King can do. So I initially thought it was terrible, but I guess I understand where it's coming from for the university and for it makes me wonder what other offers were out there, you know, like yeah. Who else?
I kind of hope this is stock up for Brevin Jordan, though. You know, obviously a quarterback upgrade, played with the freshman last year, but that'd be nice to see him kind of be really utilized and really kind of highlight the athlete that he is at that tight end spot. So it'd be interesting to see how that works.
Right. And there was that freshman there, Jaron Williams, who could learn from Derek King, you know, that he had at times last year looked pretty decent. So it has ups and downs, you know, and like I heard on, I don't remember which podcast they listened to too many. That it's not a down step. That's for sure. So, you know, anything's better than where the situation where he was. So yeah. Anyways, a big shocker. We'll cover this in our mocks too. Travis Etienne is staying at school, which rocked my world. He was actually up. I've been so high on Etienne for so long, so that kind of crushed me. And we'll talk about that in our next segment, though. At DLF over the last couple weeks, Ray, our co-host that couldn't make it here tonight, has organized some mock drafts for Debbie, you know, for the classes going forward. And we've all participated in this. Matt and I have both been in all three of them, I believe, and Ray as well. So we're trying to get sort of an ADP on what the Debbie landscape looks like. And I thought it was really interesting. And we're going to kind of just go through the list of players that were drafted, their highs, the lows, kind of go over you guys who you should be looking for, because these right here in the next couple weeks is when all the Debbie drafts usually happen. I mean, I think in all my leagues that I have Debbie, they're usually in early February, mid-February. So, you know, you're going to start wanting to think this. And we'll also outline, you know, who we think's too high, who we think's too low, you know, who you should definitely go grab. So we're going to go through that. The first up, no surprise here, in all three mocks, he went 101, Jamar Chase from LSU. So that's, I don't really know if we need to talk about him too much. He's great. He's awesome. I mean, he's just capped off an amazing season. I think there might be a buy low window for him coming up soon if, you know, with the uncertainty at quarterback, it may not be as beautiful or rosy of a year where he's going to get all those gaudy stats, and you may end up finding someone who sees what's happening and you may be able to get him a buy low, but I don't, anybody that knows is not going to sell this cat. So I don't know if you're in that same boat, Matt.
Yeah, you know me, man. So I see 101 clear cut, locked, loaded, then I see a sell opportunity here. On the other side, you're right. His production is going to regress from last year to this year. There's no doubt about it. They're not going to have another historic season like they had. They don't have Joe Burrow. He's going to take a huge dip in production. So you may get some people who are getting a little, you know, shy about that. Or, you know, we watched, you know, Justin Ross in the national championship game 2 years ago just skyrocket to the 102, arguably the 101 behind Rondell. And since then, and we'll get into this, he's just fallen and fallen a little bit. But, you know, now's a good time to sell Chase, or, you know, sit on him if you got him. But I think he will be able to get him a little bit cheaper here right after this next football season.
And he was only in our third mock, but I think if he was in all three mocks, he would have been number two. And our number two, we're going to give him consensus ADP, is Travis Etienne. I think he would have been number two in all, and I think he should be number two in all. Quite a surprise, like I said before. I think there is now a screaming buy low window for me, because if you got somebody that's been holding on him and waiting for him, they're probably pretty disenchanted by the fact that he's going back. And I think right now is a good chance to pick him up, actually. So I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, 100%, man. That's one of those ones where I'm sending out offers for him immediately after that national championship game. Or not after the game, but right after he decides to go back to school. You know what I mean? And it was people like just so heartbroken. Go look at Twitter and look at all these people just so devastated. And it sucks, but now's the time to go get him. Not that he's gotten any worse, not, you know, whatever else. He's still young. But I feel like there was a moment in that game too where it was like almost like the writing was on the wall, like, oh, he's going back to school. You know what I mean? And when it got out of hand, he's going to get one more year with Lawrence. They got plenty of talent there, so they could easily be back in that same situation next year.
Right, right. And I don't think he's got too much tread on his tires. I mean, he's got a pretty decent amount of carries, but not like a screaming amount of carries like Jonathan Taylor or whatever like that. So
no, I think Race says he's got like 14 carries in the fourth quarter up until the national championship game or something like that. Like, yeah.
Gives him more chance to work on his pass catching, which he looked better this year, but he still got needs work there. So, I mean, he could come out as the next year as the 101 easily. Next up on the list is Rondell Moore. Not a surprise here. He went 2-2-4 in our three mocks. I don't know if you got anything on him. I don't know if he's really a buy or a sell at this point. I mean, pretty much everybody knows what you got with Rondale. So,
I'm with it. It's just funny. He feels like he's not discrediting Rondell Moore's talent, but it feels like he's just continues to be drafted where he is, just based off of obviously production 2 years ago and his name. But it almost feels like an auto pick where some people might be making that selection, not loving it the way that they would have a year ago. You know what I mean? Where people were taking Rondell Moore and running to the bank. So it's almost one of those deals where you might be able to get him at a little bit of a discount, even though his ADP is three. There's an asterisk on that three for some reason.
Right. And I guess, I mean, there may be a buy low window. I don't know. Maybe somebody, you know, but I think everybody knows who he is and what he is. So next up on the list is Chuba Hubbard. He went 3-4-6 in our three mocks for an average ADP of 4.3, right where he belongs. We're not allowed to talk about him contractually while Ray is not here. So we have to skip to the next person. No, I'm kidding. We can talk about him if you want, but we talk about him every week, I feel like. So yeah. I think 4 is a good spot for him. You might have also same thing as ETN. You might have a buy low window because people thought he would come out. I think most people in the know knew that he was probably going to stay, though. So next up, we have Kane's boy, Rashad Bateman, at average ADP of 5, and he went 4-5-6 in the three mocks. You think that's about right for him?
I do. And I love it. One of these mocks, I was ahead of Kane, and I knew he was going to take Rashad Bateman, so I took him, you know, I might have taken him out 4 or 5 in one of those, and almost just really to mess with him a little bit, but he said he was shook after that, which I expected. So, I think that's a great spot for him. I like that. I feel like he has the ability to climb this board a little bit more, which is hard because of the guys in front of him. But, you know, I don't know. We'll see how this works. I feel like he is his value is just rising, man. And, you know, it's time to get on it while it's still rising.
And this is crazy that this is of this top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 5 of these are 2021 eligible receivers. So it gives you an idea of why we've been so excited about this class. Next up is Amon-Ra St. Brown. He went 3-7-7. I would like to find out who put him 3 and put some feelers out in my leagues that a guy has, and I would love to try to trade him. I don't think he's anywhere near 3, but that's my pot. I think 6, 7's even pushing it for me. I'd still like to see a little more production from him on the field. To me, that's where I think if somebody values him that high, I would definitely try to trade him.
It looks like the one that he did go three, it was before Etienne and Najee determined. So it looked like he obviously there's those guys there. But I was actually surprised to see him where he's at right now, especially because he didn't do a ton this year. You know what I mean? And there's a couple other receivers that we'll talk about a little bit later on, you know, as we go through the ADP that I would take ahead of him right now. It's interesting. So yeah, apparently there's still some huge truthers out there. I think he's a great talent for sure. But give me what Michael Pittman did this year, you know, and Tyler Vaughn's bald, and we'll talk about Drake London later. And you know, there's just guys. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what Amon-Ra St. Brown does in the next year, where he should have kind of like the premier role in that offense.
Yeah, there is definitely times in the Devy community that we see people hold those five-star guys to just a higher, you know, they just won't let go. And I'm not saying he is a good, like you said, he's a good player, but I wouldn't take him in the top 10, honestly. I think right about the fringe of 10 is where I would think about
him. I'm with you.
Next up, I would take this guy over him in a heartbeat. Justin Ross from Clemson came in at 5.7 average, 3, 6, and 8. Is where he was drafted. So I really like that spot here. I don't know if you can buy him or sell him, honestly. Kind of same thing. I don't think he's really a sell candidate. Once again, he's still got that big name that most people will not, you know, trade him cheap. So, you know, is that where you stand, Matt? Or?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think there might be a little bit of an opportunity to buy just because this year he was supposed to take that leap. It's funny, some of these guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown, Justin Ross, you know, some of these guys were supposed to take like that big jump, and it was the veterans ahead of them that really did. So, you know, in the SC circumstance, it was Pittman. In the Clemson, you know, situation, T. Higgins really stepped up and really balled. And so everybody's so pumped on T right now that you might be able to get Justin Ross at a little bit of a cheaper price just because he wasn't that dog, you know, receiver this year like he was supposed to be.
Next, average ADP of 7. He was only in 2 mocks, though. Najee Harris came in. He was drafted. The first one, we weren't sure where he was, but the second one, he was drafted 5, and the third one, he was drafted 9, which I thought was kind of low. I like him in the top 5, 6, 7 range. I think he's a pretty good buy low as well, if you can find somebody who's also thinks he was going to come out, just like we talked about with Chuba and Travis Etienne. So that's... Matt, you agree there? He's a buy?
Yeah, I do. I'm mad at Najee. I want him to come out. I don't love him going back to school. I just feel like the way, you know, Alabama's not going to workhorse him. That's not how they do it. But it's just I don't see his stock getting that much better from this year to that year. Apparently he does, and I hope he does. But he's a buy, but I don't know. I'm kind of weird on this one. I don't know. I'd be looking to maybe test the sell market if I had him on my team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think he's a screaming buy. Ray and I kind of went back and forth on Twitter about this a little bit, that he will be 24 next year. You know, so he's not like he's not a young rookie. You know, that he has a chance to vault into maybe the first round. But at the same point, he's 24. So he's going to come into the NFL, you know, maybe make it to the end of his rookie contract, you know, and that's it. That's really, truly it, which is, you know, great. That's all we want in a way, but being 24, our team's going to devalue that. So he may not be, his value may not be any higher than what it is right now. And then, you know, Trey Sanders is coming back next year and, you know, he'll have to split the backfield. Maybe his value will drop. Who knows? Like he's an odd one, a very odd one. That's for sure. His stock could go up. It could go way down. We don't really know. So,
I think you maybe said the one that's really the buy there is Trey Sanders. You know, maybe some people are like, dang, you know, Najee's coming back. I think Trey's the one to go for. If we get it that far, but I was targeting him. I was targeting him in some of these drafts, man, going like, I don't care if I'm going to pull the trigger a little bit early. Like, he's the one I want on my team.
Right. We'll get that far. We're going deep, baby. All right, next up, 8.7 average draft position. Jaylen Waddle from Alabama. This is one we talked about pre-show. He went 11, 10, and then 5. Who in the heck took him by? Was that Rob? Or
I think so, yeah. So the names on here are the most recent mock person.
Yeah, so it was Rob. at Rob Willett 24. If you're listening, please come by Jalen Waddle from me. All
right. Yeah, man. So what's weird is even in – can we just lump them together for a second? So
yeah, go ahead.
At this spot
– yeah, two spots down is Devontae Smith. So, yeah, these are the two we're going to lump.
And so even Smith's draft, you know, in the three previous mocks, he went 13, 8, and 10. So it's not like Waddle's that fifth overall pick that he got really scooted all the way. They're going still a similar spot. Devonta Smith only went ahead of him in one of the mocks, and I'm not really sure what's going on. You know what I mean? Devonta Smith, I guess maybe because Waddle still has the name from the community. I don't know. Devonta Smith proved to be a baller this year. I thought he could have come out. I thought he could have done his thing. He is really good. He's got obviously really good speed. Great connection with Tua, but we'll see what he could do with Mac Jones or, you know, whatever they decide to do there next year. I think Devonta Smith needs to be ahead of Waddle personally, but this is one of those situations where if I see this and this is how it's going, I'm selling Waddle for Devonta Smith plus if I can. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. Because I when they're this close, I especially want to take the guy who's done it. You know, the guy who's shown it. I mean, come on now. That to me is a no-brainer. So, all right. And then wedged in between those receivers was Trevor Lawrence. So even in a non-super flex, he went 7, 9, and 14, which... yeah, that's about right, I think. Sweet spot. I don't think you can buy him cheap. I think you could still sell him for anything you want, basically, especially in Superflex. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to wax poetic on Trevor Lawrence too much. But down here, tied with Devontae Smith at 10.3 average draft position was Seth Williams, who went 8, 11, and 12, which I really like a lot. I like Seth Williams a lot. What is your take on him, Matt?
It's funny. Seth Williams, I associate with you. You have sung his praises, and I pay attention to that, and I've watched him, and I have seen some of those things that make you so excited about him. Personally, I'm still taking Smith ahead of him, and the next guy on the list is very intriguing as well, but obviously availability is one of the best abilities, and Seth will be available ahead of George Pickens, who's next on the list. But I really like Seth, man. He's got size. He's had some kind of key drops in games, which has been one of his bigger knocks, right? But he's growing. He's getting better. And, I mean, that ADP at 10.3, that seems right. That feels right. I think you're getting him there and you're feeling really good about it, where taking a Monroe St. Brown at 3 or 7 or whatever he is up there doesn't feel as good as getting Seth at, like, 10 or 11. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. That's kind of one of those situations for me.
Seth's got that, he's got, you know, Bo Nix started to look a little more confident as the year went on, and I hope that he takes the step forward and brings Seth with him. I think Seth could be in for just a monster year this year. And if he does, I mean, he's another 2021 guy. Good Lord. And then the next guy is, you already mentioned him a little bit, George Pickens was a freshman this year, and he just saw flashes of just this silly, silly guy. And he's going to be Jamie Newman's best friend this year. So I like him. He went pretty consistent, 14, 13, then 15. Yeah. So I think it's about where he's going to go in any Devy draft you do. If you have a Devy startup, and that's about where I think he would go. So next guy, Max Borgi. The guy does not get enough love, amongst the community. But he went 15, 18, and then 11, which is – I love that. I mean, we all hear – I think everybody that I know loves Max Borgi, but he's still a name that just isn't out there enough.
Yeah.
Tell us a little more about Max.
Well, it's funny. So obviously Leach is gone, and even Borgi tweeted something about being able to get the ball more now as a running back. Because of how that offense is ran is so different. You know, it's the air raid. It's way different. The running backs aren't utilized like a running back, you know, that we know of traditionally. So I think Max is pumped that he's going to be able to, I think it was his first game last year. He had no catches, if I remember right, and just balled, and it was all between the tackles. And then he's had some other games, and, you know, then he was utilized more in the pass game and more outside. And it was just a weird kind of scenario of how he was used last year. The athleticism, the ability, the derb, I mean, all that stuff. I think he's a really good player. It's weird that he's – is he RB4? Am I counting right? Yeah, he's RB4 now, which feels fine. I like that. I'd be happy to get him in the, I guess, early part of the second round. I'd feel good about that. I think he's a stud, and I'm curious to see, because he could be in one of those landing spots or whatever where – not to compare him to James White, but if he got into a role in an offense like that, I would be very intrigued by that, because I think he's very he's very valuable. He'll be very valuable to an NFL offense. You know what I mean? And obviously that has its own, it has its own value to it. So I like Max Borgi a lot.
Oh, me too, man. He's so versatile. And I love watching him run too. He's just interesting. So yeah, a guy that I think has a chance to vault into the RB1 consideration. I've actually seen some guys that had him right up there already. So I like that. He's actually tied ADP wise to our next cat, freshman from Ohio State, Garrett Wilson, who went at 16, 12, 16, which, you know, pretty consistent there. A guy who, if you get a chance, I would definitely buy. Love him, man. He's going to grow next year. I'm eager to see how he grows. Justin Fields looked better at times as a passer this year. I know toward the end of the season he had a couple games where he was kind of he was dealing with a knee issue, and I like that he started to look toward Garrett Wilson's way, and he's another guy that could be primed for just a huge, huge breakout, and I think that presents a buy low right now. I think you should definitely try to get out and get Zach Wilson. I'm looking at the next line. Garrett Wilson, there you go.
What's interesting is Ohio State just landed the number one high school player in the country, according to 24/7 Sports. So they just keep loading up, dude. So Justin Fields has weapons on weapons now. It's just crazy. That offense, there'll be another good Ohio State year coming up this upcoming season.
Yeah, they just keep reloading, man. So next on the list, Zach Charbonnet, who went 12 in our first one, but that one was without Najee and Travis Etienne. So I think that's about right. And then the next two he corrected. I think 16, 17 is about the sweet spots for him. His average ADP was 15 over the three. I think that's about right. He's a guy that could be another guy that has sort of a buy low as well. He's got the name recognition, the pedigree, you know, coming out of high school as a five-star guy. So, and you just, Michigan just loves to feed their running backs, and they've produced running back after running back after running back there. So I hope that their offense takes a step forward and becomes more multifaceted and allows Charbonnet to run more, because he seemed like he was facing a lot of stack boxes this year. Still averaged pretty close to, I think, over 5 yards a carry, if I remember right. I don't have stats pulled up. So a guy that me and Ray are both really high on, and I don't know if you got anything on him, Matt.
I mean, you guys have hit him well enough, and I haven't got to watch a ton. I've seen enough to see that, obviously, the kid's talented. But I want to say that when he was drafted 12, I think that was Ray that took him. And like you said, though, that was less Etienne and Najee and everybody else.
Next up, Tylan Wallace, who went 10, 14, and 21. It's quite a range of guys to go there. So you got anything on Tylan, bud?
I love Tylan, and I think he's better than some of the other receivers we've talked about. The knock now being going into a senior season, will be another year older, where some of these receivers are, you know, obviously very, very good receivers and younger. I think Tylan could have been a top five, if not six, receiver in this class right now that we're talking about going into 2020. So it sucks he got hurt. I'm a big fan, though. I just don't love, you know, going into the senior year, there's a little bit of a knock there. It's just how it goes. But I do feel like he's going to be a younger senior, not like a Najee 24-year-old coming out.
Next guy is my guy. I love Breece Hall from Iowa State. He came in at average ADP. These next three are lumped really, really close together. Breece's average ADP was 16.3. And just to give you an idea of, we'll talk about him as opposed to Kylan Hill, who went 16.5, which the first draft was also, we didn't know he was going to come in either. So the second two mocks, he went 15 and 18, which, who are you taking there between Breece and Kylan?
I'm actually going to go Breece. I think Kylan has his limitations. I do think he's a good running back, a good college running back. But I've said before, he reminds me a lot of John Kelly, and John Kelly just ran hard and ran angry, and that was some of his best attributes, and that just doesn't really translate. You can't just be that guy, you know. So Kylan has actually improved a lot for me. I liked him a lot 2 years ago. Got better. It's just I don't know. If I was on the clock, I'm taking Breece Hall over him, just because I think the upside is still growing and can get much better for Breece, and I think Kylan may have his ceiling a little bit lower.
I totally full-heartedly agree. Breece is just, he's a three-down guy, and he's a guy that's not getting the recognition yet, but he's freaking gonna. I mean, I absolutely love that kid. And sandwiched in between him was Justin Fields, kind of a weird little, because he went 9, 17, and 23. Quite a variance there. So I don't know what to do with Justin Fields at that spot. That feels like too high for me.
You're talking about 16 is too high?
Yeah.
See, I would be flirting with that a lot. I feel like in the one where he went 9, I think if I remember this right, Lawrence went maybe 1 or 2 ahead of him in that one, and it might have like caused a reaction. You know how it is when you're on the clock. I think it might have caused a reaction. Right. Somebody go, off Fields. 23, though, is way late for me. Like, I'd be like, oh, my gosh. So
I think, yeah.
I just think Fields he's got NFL written all over him. You know what I mean? It's not like he's going to be just as great college quarterback. And he's got a ton of growth left to do. Like, last year felt very freshman season-like for me in a lot of circumstance. You know, in a lot of the games that I watched, a lot of his reads, a lot of his breakdown of defensive backs, I feel like he's just growing. So I would definitely be – if I was on the clock at 16 and he's there and then I'm seeing the next couple of these names, I would definitely be thinking of taking him there.
I'm going to pause real quick. That's our first 20 players. So we'll go deeper. We'll probably go a little bit quicker on these next 20 just in sake of time. But if you need a recap, that was Jamar Chase, Travis Etienne, Rondale Moore, Chuba Hubbard, and Rashad Bateman rounding out the top 5, followed by Amon-Ra St. Brown, Justin Ross, Najee Harris, Jalen Waddle, Trevor Lawrence rounding out the top 10, Devontae Smith, Seth Williams, George Pickens, Max Borgie, and Garrett Wilson. And then the final 5 of the 20 is Zach Charbonnet, Tylan Wallace, Breece Hill, Justin Fields, and Kylan Hill. So just if you're kind of keeping track there. So we say the average ADP is 16.5, but that's at the top 20 based on the 3 ADP drafts, the 3 drafts we've done so far. Obviously, we've got a lot more to come. The 3 is kind of a, you know, not the best sample size, but just give you guys an idea of what, you know, we as a community at DLF are thinking so far. Now we get in some fun names now. Like Tamarion Terry comes in an average ADP of 19.7, but he's the 21st player on our board. What do you got on why am I having trouble with his name? Tamarion.
I like what I've seen. I wasn't a big fan after his sophomore year. Let me make sure I got my years right. I wasn't as sold. And then I think he boosted his stock after this year, obviously, and he started to really climb up boards. But Florida State's been a weird program the past couple of years, so I get why he's been kind of handcuffed a little bit. I think his value is going to continue to grow a little bit. I do like this ADP here. Yeah, no, that's a good pick. I like that there.
He's a guy that, yeah, like I was in the exact same boat. Yeah, I had somebody ask me about Terry last year, and I'm like, I don't want him. He's just a burner. You know, then you watch on the screen. He is a burner. I mean, he had 4 70-yard touchdowns this year. So he's got that speed. But he's, you know, you want to see him work on the nuances and everything else, but you see it there. He's a hell of a fun player to watch. So, next player on the board is a name that probably a lot of people have forgotten, and you should be able to get, I would think, fairly cheap. Zamir White from Georgia, who is now a junior. Yeah. I'm trying to think. He missed that year and kind of threw everything off. So I believe he's a junior going into this year, and he should get a chance to be the man in Georgia. He went 19, 22, and 24. And to me, he's a big buy, a big, 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 big buy low. So I don't know what you got on him, Matt.
I think I'm just a fan of stockpiling Georgia running backs, period. And Zamir leads that pack. I mean, seriously, they all get drafted, it feels like. I see Brian Herrien in the Shrine game looking good. You know what I mean? Like, they're all going to end up on NFL rosters, it feels like. So Zamir White is a stud. He's got the pedigree. He's got all those things. He's going to lead that pack this year. So I definitely put some stock into that for a late second. I'm with it.
Heck yeah, man. Love it. Master Teague's another guy who was just a freshman this year, but gets a chance to be the man in Ohio State next year. Average ADP of 22, and he went 21, 22, 23. And that's a sweet spot for him. Also another possible buy low if you got someone who doesn't know the name and see that he had a pretty good productive season himself. You know, despite the fact that he didn't get hardly any share of the backfield this year, he was, I want to say he finished 6th in the Big Ten in rushing, if I don't remember offhand. So, yeah, he's another buy low for me. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, I'm going with the Ray GQ method here of scouting, and that's when Ray calls a guy out a year in advance and said this is going to be the next Chuba with the explosion of draft stock or draft capital. I'm with it. So I tend to listen to Ray and you a lot when it comes to some of these guys.
Yeah, it's always good practice to listen to Ray, man. So, next guy on the list, David Bell, who was a freshman who kind of burst out of nowhere this year. four-star guy, had definitely the pedigree, but was expected to kind of play in Rondale's shadow and instead emerged as the man in Purdue himself. He went 24, 20, and 29 in our drafts, but I think that's low, like criminally low. He's a guy that I really like a lot. I think I would probably take him over. I would take him over to Marion Terry, I think, myself. Looking at these other wide receivers. Tylan Wallace, yeah, maybe. I'm kind of right about that area, I think. I think he should be more 15 to 17 range, but I don't know. What do you think about Mr. Bell there?
I'm with you. Didn't watch a ton. I saw enough. I'd probably have him ahead of Kylan, too, if we're looking at not just receivers. But I'd still probably have him behind Teague and Zamir as of now. So I guess he's in the right group of company, but and he's a freshman. It's hard. I tend to knock a little bit on freshmen just because of availability, but that's just my own personal style, I guess.
Oh, that's fine, man. All right, next up. Do you think John Emery is going to be the man in LSU this year, man? He went 27, 29, and 25 in our draft. So I think Emery's going to pop out.
Yeah, so that's got to be like the same mindset of what I was just saying with Georgia backs, although LSU is not like, you know, RBU like Georgia is, but they have pumped out running backs, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be another one that's going to come out and do really well. I think John Emery's a great buy here. I was a big fan, dude. I thought he was for sure going to be like the freshman out of this last class, but, Clyde wasn't going to let him do it. If he doesn't make a big jump this year and doesn't really get after it and doesn't become the man, then we got a problem. So I think paying this, you know, the ADP of 27, 29, 25 is right. I would actually maybe even consider taking him a little higher than that just to get ahead of it. You know, it's a value pick right now.
Right. Love it, man. Another cat. This guy is really burst onto the scene. Journey Brown from Penn State.
Love it.
Came at 27.3, went 26, 26, and 30. And he's probably available even in Devy-depleted leagues. Like, most likely he was expected not to be the guy there. He's supposed to be behind Ricky Slade. I think Ricky Slade actually went ahead of him in one of our mocks even. That's the disrespect this guy's getting.
I think Noah Kane went ahead of him. Yeah.
And I'm like, this kid is just getting disrespected. Toward the end of the year, holy hell, he was lighting it on fire. Like, he's just a fun back to watch. So, definitely a screaming buy low for me. Like, you could probably get him for a song, a throw-in. So, he's a huge buy low for me, but... You in the same boat, bud?
Love it. Love it. And I know we're trying to jam through some of these, but there was a play, and I don't know what game it was, and I don't remember, you know, whatever it was. It was a few weeks ago, it felt like, and it might have been the bowl game. I rewound it probably six times because I couldn't get enough of this run where he showed burst, he showed power, he showed agility, he showed balance. Whatever they're doing in the weight room up there in Penn State, man, it works. These guys' lower bodies are just completely developed, and it doesn't make any sense because he's 18, but... I'm a fan of him, man. So I can't wait to see what the journey looks like next year. You know what I mean?
The journey for Journey, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got the Deltron workout program up there. So that's
Deltron approved.
All right, next up on our list, a guy who could have come out this year, so kind of surprised me that he didn't, but I think it's probably a good thing for him. Sage Surratt from Wake Forest came in at 29, 30, 26 for an average ADP of 28.3. I say screaming buy low. Like, what do you think?
I'm with it. I feel like he should have been over a couple of these other receivers. So that does say buy low. You know what I mean? Maybe it's because everyone wanted to come out. I don't know. But, yeah, that's cheap.
Although he announced before Newman left, so... That may actually also, like, in the same boat as Jamar Chase, you know, he may be in the situation where he's struggling for yards and games this year and his value may go down.
You're right.
You
know? Yeah.
So, kind of like Jalen Reagor did this year and, you know, like the guys that just weren't getting the targets. So Sage could actually be even lower. He may be able to get him for just a throw in, you know, at some point. So I would still try to buy him low now, but he could be lower. So
yeah.
Another guy with a big time draft pedigree, the big time, you know, recruiting pedigree was Keontae Ingram from Texas. He went 25, 31, 31 in our mocks for an average ADP of 29. What do you got on Keontae, man?
What I understand is that he battled injuries all year, right? And if that's the case, then I can understand why it was a lack of production and why he couldn't really solidify his place. But the fact that he was outrushed by a quarterback and couldn't ever really get the reins on that thing makes me worry a little bit. I'm also not in Texas, and I'm also not, like, dissecting, you know, Big 12 football like that. But from my side of, you know, the field or whatever, it just, I was a little bit let down that he wasn't able to take the reins, you know. So I hope that he has a bump. I hope that he's able to do it next year. But they got another stud running back coming in, right? What's his name? Bijan Robinson. I don't know. We'll see. I wanted to like Keyonte a lot. I used to think like before the season that he would be in the conversation for RB3 in this class, but I don't know if that's the case anymore.
I agree, man. I'm cautiously optimistic with him.
I'm with that.
He's got that. Yeah, but I wouldn't buy him, or would I sell him, honestly, if I had him, because I don't want to just give him away on the chance that he could be that guy, you know. But I know he was fighting injuries this year. So another guy, another talented super freshman that will get a chance probably to step into the limelight this year. He started to show a little bit there toward the end of the season. Joe Nada from Clemson, 27, 28, 32 in our mocks for an average ADP of 29. And he's another buy for me, like if you can get him. A lot of people in the industry do know that name, so he may still have like the that value. But he's a guy that he's only going to go up. So, I mean, what he is right now is as cheap as he's probably ever going to be. So, it's another way to look at it. Sometimes, yeah. I mean,
I think him and Ladson are both worth trying to acquire now, because they're one of them you would like to think has a Justin Ross effect by the end of the season, you know?
Right. And the next guy on the list is the same thing. Jaden Hasselwood from Oklahoma. Same boat. I mean, the arrow's only up. And he actually went... This is a little bit, one of our ones that's a little bit skewed. He went 22, 35, and 33. So that's quite a big range there. So I think 35 is criminally low. 22 seems a little bit high. But, you know, he actually comes up as our 30th player on the list. So I think that's probably about right. But I still think his value is only going to go up.
Yeah, I took him at 33 in that last one. And I felt terrific with that. I was actually surprised he was still there. You know what I mean? And, I mean, not that long ago, he was the number one receiver in the country. Am I right?
Right. You're right.
Yeah.
Man. I'd have the marching band out on the field. I'd be happy, man. So, good stuff. We talked about Trey Sanders a little bit earlier. He went average of 30. He went also quite a big range, 20, 33, and 37. So, yeah, another guy that should, you know, with Najee coming back, benefit from a chance, another a buy low. So. We already talked about, and here's the guy you were talking about earlier, Julian Fleming.
Yeah,
is the big guy that's coming in Ohio State, not even on the field yet, and he was our 30.3 at 29, 28, and 34. So we all love him. We all think he should be up there. So he is going to be a stud, baby. If you got a chance, buy him. I mean, obviously he'll be available even in Devy depleted because he's just now becoming a freshman. So next name, Rakeem Boyd from Arkansas. This is a name that kind of, he went 23 in our first mock, undrafted in our second, and 49th in our third. So a guy that we're all over the field on. He was on Last Chance U. I don't know a lot about him, honestly. Ray knows a ton about this kid. I know he looked really good at times this year, so he'll get a chance to get that backfield this year. And Arkansas is also bringing in Felipe Franks, right? If I remember right.
I don't remember where I saw him landing. But I've seen a couple people been really high on Rakeem Boyd, and I haven't really watched him at all, to be honest with you. And so it's interesting to see, like when I was looking at the ADP, seeing the 23, which, you know, that's end of the second round, which is crazy to me. And then to see him go, he was like almost, well, at the first part of the fifth round in the last one. So huge variance. And then obviously undrafted in another. Being taken in the second round gives me enough information. I need to go look into this guy a little bit more. That's kind of where I leave with this, with his talk right here.
Yeah, I do too. And I know they didn't have much to watch last year. That's why I haven't seen him much. But yeah, they did get Felipe Franks. So it's a guy I'll have to watch more. I'm not going to lie. So next guy on the list, Kenneth Gainwell, is a guy I'm super duper high on. He went 36, 54, and 19. So, yeah, pretty good variance there, too. Like, we're going to get down here in these numbers. We probably won't go too much further. A lot of these guys had just huge variances, which kind of, you know, we'd like to see a little more ADP data to kind of balance it out. I think this is probably about the right spot. I think we're at 35-ish. I lost track of my numbers. So that's pretty good value. And he's a guy that... I kind of went back and forth with Ray on it because I love what I see on tape, but he is a smaller guy. I think he's like right about 5'9", 190. So he's pretty small, But man, is he electric. I mean, he's just so much fun to watch, and may not be, he doesn't look like he has the frame to put on a whole lot extra. So he may be stuck in that role, which isn't a bad role, but you know, as far as long-term value, it's probably not the most valuable. So
no, he just flashed. I mean, it's a great freshman season that you got to like. I mean, you know, our buddy Kane took him at 19 in this last one. He's got a, I mean, he likes him a lot, apparently, you know what I mean? But there's a lot of variance here. Running backs are, you know, good as gold when you got one. So yeah, no, I liked what I saw. I want to see, you know, I obviously want to see growth. So if you can see some growth from that freshman to sophomore year, then even more stock up.
Rapid fire. I don't know about rapid fire, but all right. Kyle Pitts, from tight end from Florida, went 36.3, which I love, 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 love. He's probably going to be the tight end one next year. I don't know, but where you value tight ends and Devy and things like that, I think this is probably about the right spot.
Yeah, it is.
A buy for me as well, yeah.
Yeah, when you start to see, oh, I'm sorry, when, I just wanted to highlight, because he is the first tight end, and we can kind of jam through the rest of these, but when you can get that guy who's probably the top player at his position at the last pick of the third round, we got action, you know what I mean? So I'm with that.
Right, and you know, you get into these rookie drafts and stuff, and tight ends don't usually go till late second anyways, unless they're a guy like Noah Fant, you know, or somebody like that that's like the game changer type of tight end. All right, next, Jerrion Ealy, who was a highly touted freshman coming out last year. He chose, still don't know if he's going to choose baseball or football, so I think this is probably a good spot for him at 37. Immensely talented, but there's always that, you know, what's he going to do type of thing. Chris Olave from Ohio State is at 38.7. He went 33, 36, 47. So kind of interesting, you know, right about a sweet spot there here in the late third. Another wide receiver that's in the same exact boat as Terrace Marshall from LSU, who had flashes this year. I think he had, I want to say 11 touchdowns this year, something like along those lines. Only like 600 yards, you know, really good deep play threat. Should have a chance next year to kind of emerge a little bit, but also quarterback uncertainty. So I think that's about right. You got anything on Ealy, Olave, or Marshall?
I just think Marshall's a great value right now. Obviously, we've talked about, you know, Jamar taking a hit in production. We think Terrence Marshall probably is going to as well. And I think he had 12 touchdowns, which is just crazy. But he's a great player. So this is great value here at this spot of this Devy mock.
Right, and he's got that because he was behind, you know, I'm drawing a blank here. Jefferson. Chase, he's not got a lot of name recognition. So next name's an interesting name on the list, a guy I have not seen any of, I don't believe, other than just little flashes. CJ Johnson from ECU went 37, 60, and 27. So that's kind of skewed a little bit there also by, you know, you want to see more mock drafts to find out where he's going. But a couple guys on our staff really, really love this guy. I have not seen much of the ECU Pirates, I believe they are. Well, I'll take Bruce Mattson is who took him 27. So I'll take Bruce's word for it. He knows what he's talking about. So he's a guy I'll have to watch more of. And next, the third quarterback on our list is actually Sam Howell, UNC, who just finished his freshman season. A great, great freshman season. Average draft position of 41.7 with a 54, 25, 46. I think it's about right about 30, 40 range for the third quarterback off the list. So I really like Sam Howell a lot. And you got anything on this next guy, Wandale Robinson?
He's versatile, and he's in the, you know, I like it. And I think what we won't get to, because he didn't get, his ADP is not in the top 60 here, but that quarterback, Adrian Martinez, I would like to think he's going to get better, you know, between this year and next year. He had a down year, but that offense should run better than it did this year. Therefore, Wandale should have better stats, better production, better use, better, you know, all that stuff. But they used him all over the place. So I think he is a weapon, and I'm curious, or I'm excited to see the development.
Right. I made the mistake of mentioning Adrian Martinez on Twitter, and yeah, it didn't go well. People either absolutely love the dude or absolutely hate him. So I want to skip a couple names down the list. We got Puka Williams from Kentucky. Good Lord, Kansas. At 42.5, I love him. Brevin Jordan at 42.7. I think that's about the right spot for him as well. Just a couple spots behind Kyle Pitts is where he belongs as well. The next name is one that we think is criminally low. Isaiah Spiller from Texas A&M. He went 43, 43, and 43 for an average of, I don't know. I'm not good at math.
Can't count that high.
Not have enough fingers and toes, right? So what? Why is he going that low, man?
I don't know.
Ray has been... Yeah, he's just the Ray effect hasn't taken an effect. So yeah, he's a bigger dude, but man, he can run. So, and he's also from where Ray goes works, right? Texas A&M. So if Ray doesn't know, I mean, come on now. Anyways, a couple more names on the list here. We really want to talk about Mo Ibrahim from Minnesota, who should jump up quite a bit this year with Rodney Smith out of the way. I really like him a lot down this low. I would take him any day of the year at this point in the draft. Same as C.J. Verdell and Elijah Collins, two more running backs from Oregon and Michigan State, respectively. So those are another two guys that I would love to take this low in the draft, because I think C.J. Verdell, before Etienne and Najee came back, I had him in discussion for RB1. So I really like C.J. Verdell a lot. So you got anything on Ibrahim Verdell?
There's just a good group of running backs right here. This is kind of feels like stealing value, but when you got Isaiah Spiller, Ibrahim, Verdell, Collins, and then even the next one, Jamar Jefferson, they all kind of lump together. It's a lot of value at the tail end of this draft, and this is the spot where you'd want to be stabbing these running backs that can easily jump up into the top two rounds.
Right, and there's a couple other guys even lower. Eric Gray from Tennessee, Zach Evans, who is the top-rated running back in this class right now, who is still undecided. So another guy that I would just love to take. And, you know, Matt has mentioned George Helani from Boise State a couple times as well, who looks just amazing. So he's a guy I'd love to take. We're looking into the fourth and fifth round of Devy drafts at this point. So,
oh, I'm sorry, just fun fact with Helani. You know, he played with DJU and Rael Collins. Was it Collins? Rael Mitchell, who were both at St. John Bosco, you know, he was there before DJU. So kind of interesting, man. He's had a good run with quarterbacks down there in his high school years before he got up there with Hank in Boise.
We're going to be doing a lot more of these mock drafts. And, you know, obviously the ADP will start to level out a little bit on some of those lower guys as we get, you know, more information and stuff. But we're going to be pumping them out. Ray's leading us. Ray's got a really good group of guys over at DLF underneath them that we'll be doing this just constantly. Like every day we'll probably be doing some sort of mock draft for this. So we'll get you guys some really good ADP on what's going on. Hopefully we'll get another five or six in before you do your Devy drafts to give you an idea of exactly where to head and get like a game plan and things like that. So that's it, Matt. Tell everybody what you're working on, man. Where they can find you on Twitter, all that goodness.
Yeah, man. So Commish McGriff on Twitter just dropped an article, a combo article with a couple of the good boys over there at Dynasty Happy Hour. And it was a one-round rookie mock for this class. Next up will be a two-round and then a three-round. But we are doing our work there. As much as I love Devy, I love, you know, rookies and NFL and regular fantasy and everything else. So that just dropped, I believe, this morning or yesterday. I get my days mixed up. Also now writing for DLF and have my first article should be dropping here within the next week. And that is in regards to values. You guys know me, man. I'm not a stock market guy, but I like values in fantasy. So it's the guys overvalued, guys undervalued. And it's not knocks on any one player, but guys who I think are being maybe taken a little too high, just like we just did right now, versus ones that are being taken too low. So that should be coming out in the next couple of days.
Right. We are still, you know, a Devy podcast, but it makes sense for us. We will still talk about this rookie class because we have been, you know, Matt and Ray and I have been knee deep in this class for several years now. So, you know, we've talked about these guys up and down, and we're still going to follow them through the draft process, but we're also going to do what we can to get you guys ready for your Devy drafts and things like that. You can find me on Twitter at PFF Peebles Champ, work at DLF. I'm releasing, it seems like, an article every 3 or 4 days, so that'll probably slow down at some point. I'm getting a little, yeah, I got a Senior Bowl one that I was working on that I don't know if I'll get in time even to make it out, but just a really detailed look at the Senior Bowl, and, you know, we've got a lot of player profiles coming up, things like that, and so, yeah, check out, you still rank at DHH too, right?
Or no? Yes, sir, yeah.
Yep, yeah, check out both of our Devy rankings and I think rookie rankings I have also at DHH. And so we kind of do a little bit of DHH and DLF type of stuff. So yeah, but the best way to follow it, to get out, is watch us. Is just follow us on Twitter, follow this podcast on Twitter at Devy Happy Hour. And we will talk to you guys probably next 2 weeks.
I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now.